you must have ways for people to communicate with each other. And if you're not growing, you're dying. And so find people who are successful and take them to lunch, ask questions, and talk as little as you can. You know, that's my philosophy.
You're listening to the ISF podcast for your organization's better cybersecurity. Your host, ISF CEO Steve Durbin, is an expert in leadership, business culture transformation, and cyber strategies for today's top enterprises. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. Today, Steve is in conversation with American football coach Randy Jackson. During his 30 years coaching high school football in Texas, Randy earned a reputation for transforming struggling programs. And in 2022, in a move reminiscent of Ted Lasso, he moved to Germany to coach the Potsdam Royals. With Jackson as the offensive coordinator, the Royals went all the way to the German Bowl. When he's not coaching football, Randy is a business consultant. Today, he and Steve talk about how he applies his experience as a football coach in the business world. They go beyond sport cliches and dig into some concrete ways leaders can build the culture of their organization.
Randy, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for agreeing to join me today on the ISF podcast. You are somewhat different from the guests that we normally have in that you are an American football coach, and our listeners are typically anywhere from early to mid-career cybersecurity professionals or cybersecurity leaders all around the world. So I can imagine that some of them are probably sitting there thinking, well, what's Steve going to be talking to Randy about on this one that's related to security? And the piece that I really want to get into with you, because for a long time now, I've felt that there's great synergy between what happens on the sports field and what happens in business. And the main things I want to explore are around things like leadership, things like culture, things like teamwork, change, the management of all of those aspects. But before we get into that in a bit more detail, you've got a fascinating career and backstory that's taken you from Texas right away across to Europe and indeed back again now. So tell us a little bit about that path. Give us a bit of background.
Okay. 56 years old and coached for in America. All of our high schools have athletic teams. And so I was a high school American football coach for 31 years. During COVID, I got used to not going to work. I learned how to Zoom. I started consulting. And so decided to retire about 6 or 8 months after we started back our schools and stuff. And so consulted full time. I've written a couple of books, Culture Defeat Strategy. And I thought, okay, I can write and consult. Well, I just got bored. And someone told me about American football in Europe. So I uploaded my resume online. I went to Potsdam, Germany in 2022 for 6 months. And we had a great season, 12-1. Came back home and wrote a book called A Royal Season, which is really more about leadership and team building than actually anything else. And then in August of 2023, a local school had a coach retire unexpectedly. And so I'm an interim athletic director and head football coach again.
Wow. I'm interested in that shift from Texas across to Germany. And I'll tell you why in particular. One of the big challenges that we see from a security standpoint is the tenure of the security leader. So the average time in post is something like a couple of years. So it's really difficult to, you know, come in, make an impact, build a team in a fairly short space of time, adapt it to the way of working. Now, it strikes me that when you moved from Texas across to Potsdam, that must have been one of the challenges that you faced. Tell us a little bit about how you went about building that impact, if you like, from the start.
Oh, so Steve, this is my favorite thing in the world to talk about. So before I ever went over there, we Zoomed I was the offensive coordinator. I wasn't the head coach. And so I Zoomed with our team, but I asked them, can we meet, like, can we Zoom one-on-one so I can get to know you? And so I got a little bit personal with them, and I didn't realize Texans are much more easier. Like, Germans are a little bit more private. And so Had to dig a little bit deep to kind of get to know him. And so, but anyway, I had a relationship. I think it all starts with relationships. So if you want to create a team, you have to have relationships. And then you have to give them somewhere to point. So this is a activity I always do, and I did this in Germany. But close your eyes and then turn around three times and then point true north. Well, I don't know how many people are in the room, but let's say I had 50. You're going to have 50 fingers pointing in all different directions. And so what we're going to do is people will point in the same direction if you give them something to point at. And what you're in on, you're in with. So I started talking to them about what are we going to be about? What are people going to say about the Potsdam Royals offense? And so we started laying out the groundwork, and we met a few times, and we created a set of core values. We created our standard. But I didn't just go in there and say, here's our core values, here's our standard, because if I'd have done that, all of them wouldn't have pointed the same direction. So I guided them, and they created our core values. And then for the rest of the season, I helped hold it accountable that we all pointed the same direction. I hope that makes a little bit of sense, but that's the crux of it.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think that, the challenge for a lot of CISOs as they come into a new role is that, business strategy has been set. Some of them may or may not be reporting through to the board, but they will all have teams who have different ways of working, of operating. So pulling things together, getting everybody aligned. And the point that I really like you make there is about the listening. It's about providing some of that structure, I guess, some of that framework within which people can operate. Did you face any challenges in actually getting that going, and not just in Germany, but in Texas in general? Because you made the point, it's high school coaching that you're doing. Now, my recollection of certainly the time when I was that age was that I probably wasn't the easiest person to manage and get to do things. So how do you cope with that? Because everyone's an individual, right?
Yes. And with social media, there are more individuals, and we're all wired to see how many likes we can get and all those kind of things. And so creating a team now is harder than ever. I believe this in every fiber of my being. Every leader can have whatever he wants or she wants if you'll talk about it every day. So most high school coaches start practice, and they're on the athletic field, and then practice ends. I meet with my team every day before the beginning of practice, and I show PowerPoints, I show movie clips. Jesus taught in parables. I think the movie clip is the modern parable. And so this week, our theme is meritocracy, which is you get what you earn. And for most high school kids, they're used to getting things without really earning them, And so, but I'm going to talk about it every day before practice. And if you'll talk about it, you can achieve it. But you can't talk about it once a week. You must talk about it. So whatever you want, I think every leader should say, here are the three things I want. You got to talk about those three things every day.
So reinforcement, basically, of common goals is what I'm hearing there. I'm intrigued as well about how you go about building your rosters. So, again, if I think about that in the business world, very often we will have different skill sets. We will need different skill sets. We may not have all of the ones that we need at that single point in time. It's very similar when you put a team out onto the field. So what sort of character traits do you look for in the team's leaders? Because they're the ones, once they're on the field, that are going to make the difference, right? So it isn't just the one leader. Everybody has a role to play. What are some of those traits?
Well, I love these questions, by the way. I think there is so much correlation between a team, no matter what it is. But so for most people in 2023, the word leader is very intimidating.
Right.
Certainly is with high school students. So I talk to them about all of us do not have to be leaders for us to be successful, but we can all be encouragers. So encourager is way less intimidating. We use a term called mudita. Mudita is a Buddhist word that means extreme joy for someone else's success. And that is something that is not normal or natural in 2023. So again, so of the things I said, you can have anything you want if you'll talk about it every day. We talk about mudita every day, where we're happy for each other. So the first thing I'm trying to create are encouragers. And so step two is now I identify, okay, who can go a bar above and become a leader? And for me, and I think, again, this is such a correlation, is I want to know who loves the game the most. So if I was running a security company, I would want to know who thinks about it when they go home at night, or who just whenever they leave the facility, they don't think about it again until the next morning. So for me, it is, I want my assistant coaches who love it and can't live without it. And I want my leaders or my players who love it and can't live without it. And then, you know, like every other thing, 80% can be encouragers.
Attracting, recruiting, and retaining skilled employees is a challenge every security leader faces as they build a robust workforce. Building Tomorrow's Security Workforce, a briefing paper from the ISF, shares four strategic objectives to establish the foundation of a sustainable workforce, including how to develop a progressive culture. Download Building Tomorrow's Security Workforce today. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Right. So it's about having that passion, isn't it? We've all got to have a passion for something. Very often, certainly in the security space, things will go wrong. We've got the playbooks, we'll have rehearsed, we'll have done everything that can possibly happen, but one day something is going to go wrong. It may be a breach, it may be something else. Again, not dissimilar to the football field. What sort of advice have you got for people listening to this, perhaps, who find themselves in that situation? Because it's a very frightening time, isn't it? You know, you've rehearsed something, you've practiced for it, and suddenly it doesn't work. It's gone wrong. How do you address that?
The first thing we do is do an autopsy. So we're going to dissect what happened. And a lot of times in sports, coaches don't do this. So for me, in American football, we term an interception or a fumble or a sack as a disaster. So we label these disasters. Well, each week we're going to figure out for every fumble that occurred or every sack or every interception, we're going to do an autopsy on that play and figure out, was it coaching that caused this disaster, or was it lack of talent, or was it something else, you know? But basically those are the two things. Was it my responsibility? Did I not coach it correctly? Or did our player, did he have a mental mistake? Or I guess there's three things: coaching, mental mistake, or lack of talent.
Right.
But you must autopsy it. And then the only other thing is, before, we like to do pre-event walkthroughs and we like to do post-event autopsies. So I think you must, and I'm sure in security, there's lots of pre-event walkthroughs, and I'm sure there's all kind of levels. But for the sports deal, it's, we're going to meet and make sure everyone's on the same page. And we know bad things are going to happen. I always tell my coaches when we're meeting, hey, guys, I don't need you to tell me during the game this is a bad idea. I need you to tell me now. So I think maybe the last point of this would be, leaders must have a relationship with the team where they're willing to tell you, hey, Randy, this is a bad idea. This is going to end up in a disaster. And so I'm new here. And my guys, honestly, I've only known these guys 6 weeks. They really won't tell me that yet. Mm-hmm. Well, that's frightening because I just don't have that relationship with them. So I think leaders must have that relationship. And then when something bad does happen, do the autopsy.
And the autopsy is about improvement, right? It's not about finger pointing. It's about trying to figure out how the collective can, if they hit that situation again in the future, can adapt or behave differently. I mean, I think that's something certainly that we have to move away from in the security world, this sort of finger pointing, blame culture type thing, because to your point, you know, things will go wrong. And one of the things I'm interested in asking you, though, is you talked about, I think you refer to them as disasters, and autopsying those. Do you also autopsy the good stuff?
We do. Boy, that's a really good question too, Steve. We do. It's funny. I've never been asked that. But it's, you know, it's like, I guess we're wired to, the bad things are worse to us than the good things are good to us. So if we run 100 plays, 92 are going to be good, or at least they're going to be non-disasters. So we probably are just continue on with those and trying to correct the disasters. So I can't tell you that I think we do probably a good enough job. Now, I do think this, what you celebrate, you cultivate. Mm-hmm. So we're going to celebrate the good things, and we're going to recognize the individual to the team. I know everybody has their different love language of how they like to be celebrated, but I think that's a leader's top of the list job, is to celebrate the successes, and they'll continue to happen if they're celebrated.
Well, I want to move away from the team so much now, Randy, and look at you or fellow coaches. So you consult, obviously, with a network of coaches. How important is it, do you think, to maintain such a network, you know, to have these kinds of relationships with colleagues with similar goals and expertise as you?
Oh, I think it's vital. Like, I mean, I love the term mastermind. And when I Google mastermind, I think it was like Henry Ford and Rockefeller and just icons of the early 1900s. I think Teddy Roosevelt might have even been a part of this. And they would meet once a year, and their businesses had nothing to do with each other, but winners are winners. And so I believe you should find like-minded people. I think we're all the average of our top five friends. So I tell that to my players all the time. You're going to be 2.5. And if you want to be a millionaire, you need to hang out with millionaires. So the best thing I've done in my consulting is start WhatsApp groups, and where people can communicate with each other and bounce things off of each other. I've got Hall of Fame coaches, and I've got 22-year-old coaches who barely, you know, they're just starting. Well, they can access these Hall of Fame veterans through our WhatsApp and chat. And so I think it's a big deal of you must have ways for people to communicate with each other. And if you're not growing, you're dying. And so find people who are successful and take them to lunch, ask questions, and talk as little as you can. You know, that's my philosophy.
And I think that certainly that's something from an ISF standpoint that we try to nurture in a lot of the events that we put together and ways that we create community. But one of the things that I've noticed, and I'm really interested in getting your take on this, because you mentioned a 22-year-old coach. One of the challenges that we see is that that kind of age group perhaps is a little bit intimidated by, to use your terminology, Hall of Fame characters. And yes, we can sit here and say, well, the way to do it is to, you know, take them for lunch, talk to them, don't be afraid of it. Very easy for us to do. What are some tips that you would give to some of the younger guys who are listening to this and they're thinking, wow, you know, I would really love to reach out to so-and-so, but I'm just intimidated. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to start. Some tips on that.
Okay, so one of my mentors is a 76-year-old sports psychology professor, and he told me this story, but he said he had a friend of his who wanted to be a basketball free throw expert. And so he said, I want you to call John Wooden and ask him some questions about basketball. Well, this guy was very intimidated. He's like, I can't. Now, John Wooden, y'all, is the greatest basketball coach in the history of basketball. He lived in Los Angeles. He died at 90-something. And there's 100 books about John Wooden. And so he said, if you'll call John Wooden, then he will help you become a free throw expert. Well, eventually he convinced him to call him. Well, when he called him, Coach Wooden talked to him for 45 minutes. And then Coach Wooden gave him phone numbers of other basketball experts. And so this person, the story is amazing. This person ends up being a free throw coach for an NBA team, which is unbelievable. But here's what makes it more unbelievable. He never played basketball before. So just having the courage to call experts. He was a free throw coach for the Miami Heat and had never played basketball. So when I wrote my first book, Culture Defeats Strategy, I called coaches, and they all are honored that you're calling them. You know, so if you're just starting out in this, I can't tell you enough. Call people. They will be honored. Retired people are even more honored that you value what they bring to the table still. And there's two ways to become an expert. You can spend 10,000 hours of practice or whatever, you know, that standard is, or you can talk to people who are already experts. So I don't have time for 10,000 hours. I'm going to bug people. That's not the right word, but I'm going to call people and I'm going to become an expert by talking to people who've already done it.
So basically, don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to learn from other people, because that's the way that we're all going to get to be successful.
Exactly. Fortune favors the bold, and you're not going to bother anybody. They're going to be honored.
Fantastic. Randy, look, it's been absolute joy talking to you. Really interesting, trying to draw some of those parallels between sports and business. Thank you so much for sharing those insights. And best of luck at Greenville. Sure, you're going to have a great season.
Thank you.
If you found value in the conversation today between Coach Randy Jackson and Steve Durbin, please take a moment to give the ISF podcast a 5-star rating and share this episode. Get in touch with Steve directly at steve.durbin@securityforum.org or linkedin.com/in/Steve Durbin. Check out all our media and resources. All of it is there to support you at securityforum.org. Don't miss the ISF Analyst Insight podcast, sharing conversations with members about the real-world applications of ISF research. The ISF podcast is produced by Talkbox Productions and Tavia Gilbert. Thanks for listening.